May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to attempt to share again for a few minutes what we'll forever be discovering in all of eternity. And therefore, it won't be done very thoroughly, but it's the most fascinating thing I think I've ever known. And we start again with this, our understanding of the God that we say we love and worship and serve. He's a God of Trinity. He's a triune God, which means not that sometimes he's Father, sometimes he's Son, sometimes he's Holy Spirit. That's heresy. What the church has always believed is that God exists, though one, as three distinct persons at all times. Three personalities, mind, emotions, and will, forever communicating and loving each other. And at the core of who God is lives in an atmosphere of community, Trinity, three persons, one God. And the scripture says God is love. God's a lot of other things. He has holiness, he has power, he has wisdom. But what scripture says is that he's love. And so it says about him, about his love, in Isaiah 33:14, it says, who can live with a consuming fire? And who can live with a forever burning? Now, those aren't terms of judgment. Those are terms that are trying to express the personality of God's love. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, says this: God's love is like a very flame of the Lord. And it's the strong word. It's a word of vehement flame. Again, if you look at a fire, and there's the yellow part of the fire, which is hot, and there's the red part of the fire that's even hotter, and there's the blue part of the fire that's the hottest. Well, multiply that in infinity, that expresses the passion of God's love. How big is God? How big is God's love? And most of the time in Scripture, when fire is referred to, it's not about judgment. It's about the presence of the love of God. The very throne of God, Scripture says, is fire. It sits on a wheels of fire. And flowing from that is a river of fire that goes to the middle of a sea of glass mixed with fire. That's in the third heaven. It's all about the atmosphere of the Trinity, this God of vehement love. And so God lives in a perpetual fellowship of what Catherine of Siena called divine madness, the holy fire of God, the wildness of God's love. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, it says, and it's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, that our God is an all-consuming fire. And what hit me is this, is that when we think of that, we think of the fact that God is an all-consuming fire of love and that he wants to consume you and he wants to consume me. Not in judgment, but in ownership, in owning our hearts and our yieldedness and surrender and loving him back. But if you think about that, what that's first saying is God himself is consumed with his own love. His whole being, everything about him, and everything he does is consumed, is an all-consuming fire, is because it's all-consuming him. And because it all consumes him, and when we get close to him, it all consumes us, like a moth drawn to a flame. Do you understand the difference? And so in the Trinity, throughout forever and forever, there's this fellowship of these three persons that are just all consumed with love for each other. Now, back to what we said yesterday, and for you aren't CTKers, forgive me, but if you know anything about me, you come around enough, I'll speak about this to the point of it's running out of your ears, and you'll beg me to stay in some other things. But this is what it says in John 15. Just remarkable. Jesus said, just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. And in John 17:23, Jesus said, just as the Father's loved me, he's also loved you. And so this all-consuming fire that God has for God and has forever had for God. He says, God loves you the way God loves God. That just blows my doors off. And when I said that to you yesterday, I wasn't the first person to think of that. But it's just different than even saying, well, God loves you the way he loves Jesus. When you think about God loving God with a forever all-consuming love that ends up impacting, but he's all consumed with his own love. He's all consumed with that. He's all consumed with love for you. He's all and Jesus is saying his disciples, just as the Father has loved me, with the same love that God has loved me, God, I love you. And just as the same love that God has loved me, the Father, God the Father loves you. And so what we're called into as believers is what? This fellowship of divine madness. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, I'm controlled, driven, taken by the love of Christ. And before that, he said, if I seem to be out of myself, if it seems like I'm out of my mind, it's for God. And those moments that I seem more lucent and normal, I'm trying really hard to do that for you. The problem is, what do you mean by divine madness? The wildness of God's love. Who else would God, when mankind fell, there were only two of them. Why didn't he just zap them like an eternal, omnipresent, omnipotent bug zapper and go, okay, there's just two. We'll just start over again. Too late. Who can live with an all-consuming fire and who can live with a forever burning? God's love for you didn't kick in when you got born. God has foreknowledge, and it kicked in forever past. There was never a moment in all eternity that God's all-consuming fire wasn't consumed about you. It was too late. He wouldn't start over even for just two. And so divine madness, when at the point there was only two, in his heart, he was already knew you. You didn't exist yet, but you existed in the heart of God. And so he gave what he couldn't afford to give. That's madness. That's wildness. That's being consumed with something and you just can't get past it. That's like a holy addiction that drives you to do silly things. And that's why Jesus talks about, through the Holy Spirit, when Paul wrote, the cross is foolishness to the world. Ted Turner, years ago, when he was still at the top of the thing before he lost about $500 million, talked about the fact that he was raised in a conservative Christian school. But early on, he rejected God, because a God so weak, he said, that he had had to give his own son to bleed and die for me. I don't need anybody like that. Kind of missed the point, didn't he? And so as believers, you and I are drawn into this fellowship, this eternal fellowship of the wildness of the heart of God. That God loves Bill the same way God loves God. That's crazy. It's a forever burning. But it's not just a forever burning. It's the same kind of burning the Holy Spirit has for the Father and the Father has for the Son. The Son has... Oh, by the way, God so loves the world that he gave. Do you understand what I just said to you? I get so brokenhearted reading Christians on Facebook. They'll quote some Muslim guy who says something bad about America and they'll call him scum. Or they'll say this, really? Is that what Jesus did at the cross? He said, Father, they're a bunch of scum, but I'm... God loves the Muslims the way God loves God, though only those in Christ are drawn into the vortex. You understand? to be able to experience that. That's what he was saying to the disciples. That's the tragedy of it all. That's what's so heartbreaking to God when man falls into, off the edge into hell. When a person dies who's not received Christ, because the way God loves God is the way God loves every Muslim, every Hindu, every Democrat, every Republican. Though his broken heartedness is that having reconciled himself to them, they won't say yes to him and never get to enter into the fellowship of the wildness of God. That's what we should carry in this season. Oh my gosh. Your enemy is the fallenness of man, not fallen men. That's what we attack, not people, but their lostness. That's what grieves us. That's what wakes us if we understand who this triune God is. With me? And there's two places where the madness of God, the wildness of God is revealed more than any other place, at the cross and in the creche. Oh my goodness. You're kidding me. He must be all consumed with his love that he would step out of eternity and take on humanity. But that's a little more of the story. We'll talk about that some more this week. Oh, by the way, in Eucharist, that God who's consumed with love comes to you in bread and wine. Don't try to figure it out. It ain't Roman Catholic. It's just craziness. And it takes a comprehension love of God to get it, that God could become that small for you. He did before, didn't he? Why can't he do it in every Eucharist? If you understand, he's an all-consuming fire. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.